Mormonism 101, a book by Mormonism Research Ministries' Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson, has helped many who want to understand what separates Mormonism from the Christian faith. Mormonism 101 is available at your favorite Christian bookstore or online at mrm.org. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Today we continue our look at a number of books that were given away as Christmas gifts by the First Presidency between the years 1981 and 2017. And as we've mentioned throughout this series, one of the reasons why we felt it important to do so is it shows that the First Presidency was at least willing to give away books that contain doctrine that we assume they must have believed and also wanted the reader to believe it as well. Today we're going to be looking at a book by David O. McKay titled Gospel Ideals, but before we do that, Eric, how can people find many of the quotes that we're going to be citing through this series?
You just need to go to mrm.org, our website, and in the search engine, type in Christmas Gift. The first article that will come up contains links to all of the books in this Christmas book series that we've been doing these past few weeks, and that series goes from 1981 to 2017. So we have compiled quotes that you can look at, as well as the quotes we're using from the show and additional quotes we don't have time for. So if you hear a quote you like and you want to quote it to your friends, you can go to mrm.org.
The book Gospel Ideals by David O. McKay. David O. McKay was the ninth president of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He held the position of president for 19 years. That means that he was second when it came to longevity for being a president of the church. Brigham Young would have held that distinction. He was president longer than any other leader in the church. But David O. McKay was a part of the church organization for much of his life. He was born in the late 1800s, but he became an apostle in 1906. He died in 1970. So he was very much a part of the leadership. This book was published in 1953 and was given away as a Christmas gift in 1993 by the First Presidency of the church at that time.
Bill, you and I were not around studying this religion when David O. McKay was the president. I was talking to Sandra Tanner, who founded Utah Lighthouse Ministry with her husband Gerald many years ago. I asked the question who she thought was the most popular president of the 20th century, because I was thinking perhaps Gordon B. Hinckley would be the choice for many. She disagreed and thought during his time, David O. McKay may have been the most popular president of the 20th century. And she said that he was not only very gentle and kind, but he had a full set of hair and he looked just more handsome than maybe a Gordon B. Hinckley and some of the other presidents. He became president at a younger age. And so I just found that interesting because I just don't know very much about David O. McKay.
Well, this book, Gospel Ideals, the reason why we want to look at it, of course, is not only because it was one of the books given away as a Christmas gift, but to show that what he's teaching in there is still pretty much the same type of doctrine that we hear Mormon leaders speaking of today. But first of all, we want to talk about the subject of the age of accountability. First of all, let's read the quote from Gospel Ideals, page 74, and then we'll talk about what that actually entails.
David O. McKay said, "The Church of Jesus Christ promulgates the doctrine that little children are redeemed and sanctified through the atonement of our Lord and Savior. If they die before reaching the age of accountability, they become heirs of the celestial kingdom of heaven."
Now, what does that mean? Well, quite simply, it means this. If you want to get to the celestial kingdom, one of the guaranteed ways you can, according to Mormonism, is if you die before the age of 8, because the age of 8 in Mormonism is what is known as the age of accountability. Now, there's really no definition of an age of accountability in the Bible. This is something that's unique to Mormonism. But I find it fascinating, Eric, that a person can get into the celestial kingdom if they die before the age of 8. But Joseph Fielding Smith, the 10th president of the church, also had another escape clause, if you will, that would prevent you from being damned, potentially. And what did he have to say about that in Doctrines of Salvation, Volume 2, page 182?
He wrote, "One very significant thing in this revelation, which should be remembered, is the fact that the Lord did not say that all who are dead are entitled to these blessings in the celestial kingdom if they hear the gospel in the spirit world, but all who would have received the gospel had they been given the opportunity in this mortal life. The privilege of exaltation is not held out to those who have had the opportunity to receive Christ and obey his truth and who have refused to do so."
Now, what is that telling us? We know that the Mormon Church has a doctrine known as baptism for the dead, or vicarious baptism. They take this from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 29. They certainly do not take it in its proper context. They built a whole doctrine around this one verse that is found in 1 Corinthians. But notice what Joseph Fielding Smith says. "Even though a person may be baptized vicariously by a Mormon, does not necessarily mean that that individual is going to receive celestial exaltation." In fact, I think it was Spencer W. Kimball who made sure that you understood that the best you could hope for, if you had heard about Mormonism during this lifetime and rejected its message, yet were baptized vicariously and received the restored gospel in the spirit world, in spirit prison, the best you could get would be the terrestrial kingdom. You would not get celestial exaltation. That's basically what Joseph Fielding Smith is saying here. So here's what it all comes down to, folks. If you want to make sure you get into the celestial kingdom, die before the age of 8. Or never have a missionary tell you about the doctrines of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. That's the one way you have the opportunity, once you're baptized vicariously, if you embrace it then you get a ticket into the celestial kingdom. But if you hear it here in this mortality and you reject it, all bets are off. I've actually told Mormon missionaries, you know, according to this doctrine, according to Joseph Fielding Smith, you as a missionary are not doing me or anyone else you talk to any good once you share with them what you believe, because now you've made them all accountable.
And that's keeping the entire law, which is what the unique standard work says a person has to do. So I think you're right on that. And it's interesting because if you died early before 8, or if you don't hear the gospel, you're much better off than anybody else. I don't think a lot of people have ever thought that through. I don't know if many missionaries have thought that through.
Well, let me ask you this, Eric. In light of what we've just read from Joseph Fielding Smith, is it really an act of love on the part of the missionaries to tell us about what they believe, making us accountable now?
And we have to understand again that the celestial kingdom is where you should want to go if you're a faithful Latter-day Saint, because that's where families will be together forever. And if you're a family member who doesn't get to the celestial kingdom, you will be forever separated. The terrestrial kingdom and the celestial kingdom do not offer family relationships. And so if we believe, as Mormonism teaches, that families are forever, this is a pretty daunting doctrine that sits right in front of us. And again, we've talked about it many times before. Who can actually do what Mormonism says? So it seems like these other clauses are the only way, legitimately, many people will ever have a chance to get to the celestial kingdom.
In page 98 of Gospel Ideals, David O. McKay raises an interesting question, and I want to raise it to you, Eric, as an evangelical. He said this, "If at this moment each one of you were asked to state in one sentence or phrase the most distinguishing feature of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, what would be your answer?" Now, when I read that, I thought about that. What would I say as an evangelical would be my answer to that? I would think, and perhaps you would agree, Eric, I think justification by faith alone is certainly one of the most distinguishing features of the Christian faith, because our salvation is not based on anything we do. It's not based on our performance, but all of it rests on what Jesus did on our behalf. So I would say Christianity shows that to be the distinguishing feature.
And as you like to point out a lot of times, Bill, is that the one word that would distinguish evangelical Christianity from Mormonism is the idea of forgiveness of sins. As we were just talking about in Mormonism, you have to have full obedience, but in Christianity, it's through faith and faith alone, through the grace that's been offered. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 very clearly says it's not based on your works.
And I think we need to state at this point, because sometimes if someone's listening to us and they hear us emphasizing justification by faith, they could easily assume that we are downplaying the significance of good works or holiness living. Folks, please do not jump to that conclusion. We are not doing that at all. Certainly sanctification, good works, holiness living has its place, but that is not what justifies us. That's the result of being justified. So I would appreciate it if Latter-day Saints don't take us out of context and say that we're trying to emphasize that you can live licentiously and that's not a problem if you profess to be a Christian, but that's not true. But going back to that question that I asked earlier, or I should say that David O. McKay asked, because this is on page 98 of his book, what was his answer to that question?
It occurs to me now that my answer would be this: divine authority by direct revelation. There are those who claim authority through historical descent, others from the scriptures, but this church stands out as making the distinctive claim that the authority of the priesthood has come directly from God the Father and the Son by revelation to Joseph Smith.
And here's what's telling about that statement, folks. Their understanding of the priesthood isn't even close to what the Bible teaches regarding the priesthood. Now, that doesn't mean that the Mormons don't have what they call the Aaronic priesthood, and certainly there was a priesthood for the sons of Aaron in the Old Testament, the Aaronic priesthood, but they did not function the same. Even the people who were called to that priesthood were not called in the same manner. In the Old Testament, to be an Aaronic priest, you had to be, as I said, a son of Aaron, related to Aaron. That's not the way it is in Mormonism. You can just be a faithful male and you can qualify if you are a member of the LDS Church in good standing. When it comes to the Melchizedek priesthood, again, we find no comparison between what Mormons call the Melchizedek priesthood and any such Melchizedek priesthood in the Bible. In fact, you won't even find that phrase Melchizedek priesthood being understood as Mormons believe it today. Yes, there was a priest named Melchizedek, but a Melchizedek priesthood as the Mormon church defines it? No, you're not going to find anything like that at all.
He lists three different ways that people claim authority. One is through historical descent, and I imagine he's maybe talking about the Eastern Orthodox Church, the Roman Catholic Church, I'm not sure. But then he says others from the scriptures. Wouldn't you think that that is what we as evangelical Christians would hold, that it's through scripture and scripture alone that we're going to understand what authority we have as believers?
I think absolutely. I think it's the scripture that does claim whether or not we have authority and spells it out quite definitively. So I would agree with you on that. Tomorrow, we're going to continue looking at this book, Gospel Ideals by David O. McKay, a book that was given away as a Christmas gift in the year 1993 by the First Presidency of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.